Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to the Hertel Report's weekly podcast. My name is Veronica Graff. We usually do them on Thursdays. Last time we did it on Tuesday.
So we're being inconsistent.
And it's Friday now.
It's Friday.
So we're winging it.
We're kind of winging it. Yeah, but it was a busy week for me. I went to the HFMA conference.
Yes, I'm here with Chandler. Jim Hammond. Voice.
That's me, Jim Hammond. Good afternoon, everyone.
30 years in the industry.
Happy Friday. Yeah, I went to HFMA fall conference at the San Marcos Resort in Chandler and had a very nice week, good meeting.
What is it?
The Healthcare Financial Management Association.
They're
community partners of the Hertel Report.
Right.
It's an organization that's been around a long time, since the 40s and 50s, I think. And it's
mostly
CFOs of hospitals and then the people that work for them. So you have accountants, you have managed care folks, you have revenue cycle folks, and we talk about healthcare and how we're going to solve problems.
A lot of insight in the hospital world.
A lot of insight into the hospitals. We also talked about ACOs. I did a session with Dr. Hanicom from ACN, from Arizona Care Network, where we talked about ACOs and value-based networks and how they're driving providers into value-based models where the providers are taking risk. And then Dr. Hanicom, who's the chief medical officer and CEO there, at ACN, he talked about what they're doing to manage that risk and how they're taking on risk and they're looking for it. They want it because they see that they're going to be able to change the way they deliver healthcare.
Now, that's interesting that they talked about accountable care organizations, because we actually had some in our news this week.
Right.
There's this Avalier study that basically states that they sort of mature over time, and the sweet spot is at least 3 to 4 years being an ACO in the Medicare Shared Savings Program. And after that 3-4 years, they start accumulating
They have more members. They have more data. They know their members better. And they've had time to build programs. And when these organizations, when they start with some very basic things, building the network. And then it takes a while to build the network. And then once you have the network built, then you can work with the network and say, hey, what are we going to do differently? How are we going to manage these patients? Or how are we going to use this data, this risk stratification data that we have that says these people are potentially sick? Let's go get them into the doctor. There's time to develop those programs.
And learning how to better serve the population and kind of what your population needs, right?
Right, exactly. You get to know your population, which is the same thing that happens in the commercial space. When we talk about why are there no plans on the health insurance marketplace or healthcare.gov? Well, because they didn't know who their members were going to be. There was uncertainty, right? And uncertainty always does what?
Right.
Raises rates. People bailed out. So the more you know your members, the more certainty you have and the more predictable they are. You also have data about who's sick and who's not. So
now for the individual market, it's also a little bit daunting for newer providers, like let's say Oscar or Bright, to enter when you have veterans that have been serving that population.
And the numbers are going to be small. You know, no matter what, Bright and Oscar, even if they kill it, even if they get out there and they market like crazy, they're not going to have that many members. And so when you don't have that many members, it takes a while to get up and running and do a good job. So it's going to be interesting to see how well they do and how many members they attract. Because I haven't heard a whole lot. You know, I haven't seen a lot of activity around, hey, Oscar Health is coming, and if you are buying your plan on healthcare.gov, we're the plan for you. I haven't heard that. You know, so I'm curious to see how many members they're actually going to pull from Ambetter. You know, Ambetter is the incumbent in Maricopa County. Bright and Oscar are new players, and then there's rumors that Cigna is going to come back in, but we really don't know yet because the Department of Insurance hasn't published the rates yet.
And which are coming soon.
Yeah, next week we should know, and they'll tell us the rates and the counties that these plans are offering. So we'll have all that data probably next week, and hopefully we'll have it available for the October newsletter to give our readers and members some insight into who is offering in which counties.
Now, another little bit of news that we reported on this week, the National Committee for Quality Assurance published these rankings of thousands of insurance plans, individual insurance. It included Medicare, commercial, Medicaid, and it was a bit...
It was disappointing. The Arizona results were actually disappointing. We don't have a single plan that rated 4 or 5, do we? We have one that was a 4.
We had a few that were a 4, but that was the highest rating. I mean, it's rated on a 5-point scale.
Right.
Lowest being 0.
Yeah, so a 5 or 4 is good. We had no 5s, and most of our plans were in the 3.5 range, if I remember correctly. So all that data is available on our website if you want to dive into that. But yeah, that was a little disappointing. Even some of the big names nationally just didn't rank 5s. You know, you don't see United or Cigna getting fives anywhere, right. really, not, especially here in Arizona. So it was a little disappointing.
Is that worrisome as we enter open enrollment in November?
No, I don't think so. It's how much of this information floats down to decision makers about their Medicare Advantage right. plan. I don't know if it's, if they're going to go to the Avalir's website or this NCQA website and look it up and see that, you know, Aetna's a 3.5 and somebody else is a 3.0. So I'm going to choose Aetna because they don't right. have a 5-point plan to win. You know, we'd have to look and see if that makes any difference. Aetna's very small in this market. So the fact that they were a high scoring plan, but they have few members is a little confusing
too. Now, there's also a lot of other rating systems.
Oh, tons. You know, well, how about the rankings. Medicare? The Medicare star ratings are right. more important than these, but there are also plans that don't have very good star ratings.
It's also a little bit confusing on the other end.
Yeah. yeah.
Which rating to choose?
Well, again, I don't know who's actually using these ratings to make decisions. I don't know if the brokers are using these ratings to help them drive business to higher ranked plans or not. I'll have to find out. I'll have to ask some Medicare brokers that.
I'll have to follow up on that. Now, what was interesting that you were telling me about that conference earlier was someone who spoke there. If you want to.
Oh yes, introduce. I don't have her name off the top of my head, but yeah, there was a woman there. Was an aerospace engineer, a mechanical engineer. Was into process. She's a Six Sigma Lean consultant, so she's they're into performance and rooting out variants and rooting out mistakes. You know, the aerospace industry cannot have mistakes. You know, people die, planes fall out of the sky if the aerospace industry makes mistakes.
Right.
So they make sure they get it right.
Now in healthcare, what's well, yeah,
that
look like?
Her story really was that when a plane goes down, we lose 300 people and everyone's in shock and our country goes crazy and says right. that we can't have that happening. But yet her statistics said that there are 99,000 people a year in the United States that die from mistakes in healthcare, from errors. And that equates to 300 people every day that are dying.
Wow.
But there's no outrage. So it was a really fascinating talk. And at the end, we kind of challenged ourselves because we are in the healthcare industry that we should fix this. You know, we need to fix this. We can't have 300 people dying every day from medical mistakes. So it was a call to action. It was pretty exciting. People in the room were visibly moved by this talk and
shaken.
A little bit shaken. And they're, and a little bit, like you said earlier. Anyway, the audience reacted well and said, we have to fix this.
But as a sidebar, it's interesting because now we have a lot of new technology coming into the healthcare field. And these numbers, when you think of putting all these people onto these new technologies, it's a bit worrisome.
Mistakes are going to get
mistakes,
made?
Mistakes, technological errors. I mean, there's human error.
See, I was thinking you were going the other way, that we should, with our technology, be able to root out this variation because it's human variation most of the time. So if we can root out some of that human variation by using technology, it can also help. So maybe that's another way to look at it.
But also a discussion in artificial intelligence right now that's actually very prevalent in the news is using the human understanding. How are you going to mimic that in a computer?
I don't know.
Right. And yet we still have errors.
Yeah, we have lots of errors. So, all right. So that was a little daunting, not the greatest news in the news this week. So the Mayo story is kind of
riveting news.
Not the most riveting week, but the Mayo story is kind of nice. I worked at Mayo Clinic for years, and I know this story of Will and Charlie and the little doctor, their father, that started a clinic basically after a tornado ripped apart their town. They partnered with the local parish, and they built a hospital. And thus was born the Mayo Clinic. And so I haven't seen this documentary, but it's a Ken Burns documentary. I plan on watching it this weekend. That's what I do.
A small name in the industry.
yeah, he's a very well-respected guy. Some of the voices you said, Tom Hanks is
on
there. Peter Coyote narrates. And so I'm looking forward to listening to the podcast or listening to their...
And the link is in link is on the website.
Yeah.
And it'll be a nice little...
It's a story. Yeah. It's definitely a feel-good story. You know, they are a big, huge enterprise now. They're not a little clinic out in the country in Minnesota anymore.
It's a good humanizing story for the Mayo Clinic.
Yeah. All right. So what else do we have?
We have the labs challenging of Medicare reimbursement cuts.
Oh, yes. Riveting. Yeah, I've got to talk to my friends at Sonora Quest about this, but it looks like a rule has been made that essentially tells all the labs, you don't do any reporting to tell us what you're what your prices are so that we can determine whether or not you were underpaid. And so if they can't do that, they're never going to get any of these underpayments paid back. And so there's a lawsuit and we're trying to figure out. The judge dismissed it saying you don't really have, I don't have jurisdiction to help you with this rule that you don't like.
Now, I think it's in the beginning of what it could be.
You mean this thing could get bigger?
Yeah, I think this lawsuit, I don't think the labs, it's a coalition of laboratories, and I don't think they're going to give up that easily.
No, I don't think so
either. We're talking about millions of dollars in Medicare.
Millions or billions? Billions.
Billions with a B.
Billions
with a B.
More
important.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be something to watch out for in the news cycle.
Sure. What else are we going to watch in the news cycle? Open enrollment.
Well, open enrollment, I mean, it's coming up real soon. Department of Insurance is supposed to publish
the rates and the counties.
It'd
be nice
1st.
To get it. Yeah, it would be right. Nice to get them on Monday. So we'll be covering that on the Hertel Report as well.
Well, we'll be looking out for the open enrollment numbers
right.
Come next week. We're going to do some more reporting on that. And we'll be back next Thursday, hopefully with a more exciting
set of news stories
to discuss. But thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for joining me today.
You bet. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Have a great weekend. Yes, it's weekend time.